Podcasters, it's Jill. I am back for another episode of What Comes Next. And today I am so excited to talk to you about handling big feelings. I feel like this is a topic that has some clout, especially as we are navigating this world as children and adults. And you know, so many times we hear things like, you're going to be okay, or it'll be okay. Don't worry about it. And a lot of times when we hear those things, I think so many of us often feel like our feelings aren't valid, or that we're not being heard, or that people are misunderstanding what we're actually feeling in the moment. And certainly when people are telling you that, that is not what you're wanting to hear most times. So I think that it's super helpful if people can have empathy when they're responding to you, when you're sharing your true feelings with them. And so today I would like to talk to you about big feelings. I would like to talk to you about how we can respond to children and adolescents and teenagers that are having big feelings, and how can we respond to them in a way that's going to help to equip them with tools in their toolbox so that we can create emotionally intelligent beings. And then they can pass on those skills to the people that they come into contact with. So how do we respond to others when they are having a big feeling? So let's start with infants. If we think about infants, we think about their communication skills, and they really have none. The way that they communicate is not through words. They're communicating through their cries, right? And as parents of infants, we start to learn what each cry means. We start to learn that certain cries mean hunger, and certain cries mean that they're tired. Certain cries mean that they might need a diaper change. But really, for infants, that's the only way that they have to communicate with us. We might pick them up. We might pat their back, excuse me. We might try to figure out and seek out the answer to why they are crying or why they might be upset. But then as children start to grow and to change, they become verbal. And when they start to become verbal, one of the very first words that we start to hear from children is the word no. And when we hear this word no, for a lot of parents, the word no is a trigger word. We think that the word no automatically is disrespectful. We think that children are trying to get under our skin. We think children are knowing better in that moment. We think children have the skills and they're just not choosing to use them. But really, when you think about those things, especially for children that are 3, 4, and 5 years old, children at those ages, they really are not equipped with the skills that they need to be able to respond appropriately. And if we really think about those things, even children, as they learn and grow up until the age of 25, and now even more research is staying up until the age of 30, the prefrontal lobe is not even fully formed, which means realizing consequences for our actions, that's not really even there. So we are lending our prefrontal lobe to children up until 25 to 30 years of age. And wow, that seems like a really long time. So how can we expect children 3, 4, 5 years of age to, quote, know better? They've been on this planet for only 36 months, if they're 3, 48 months, if they're 4, and 60 months, if they're 5. So we no longer look at their behaviors like we did as an infant, where we're trying to figure out what's going on. We look at their behaviors a lot differently when they learn to talk. So we have to know how to do better, right? So what do? There lies my question. When we say things to children like, come on, it's time to be happy. Don't cry. You're too old for that. Who gets to dictate who is too old to cry? Because I don't know about you, and I won't mention my exact age, but I'm into my 40s, and I still cry. And why is that considered such a bad thing? Feelings are part of our human nature. And instead of learning or being taught to bury them as children, we need to be taught to manage them. We need to be taught to embrace them as they come our way and to be able to recognize them in others and to demonstrate true empathy. True empathy. Not just a pat on the back saying, they're there, you'll be okay, or, well, at least you didn't have this happen to you. Things could have been a lot worse. Or, oh, yeah, I've had that happen to me too. I know exactly how you're feeling. Because believe it or not, that's not true empathy. True empathy is something like, you know what? I don't completely understand what's happening right now, but I want you to know that I want to know, and I'm ready to listen if you want to talk. You see, with children, perception is reality, and what you deem as no big deal could be the biggest crisis of their 4-year existence. Saying something like, you know what? That makes sense. You were hoping things would go differently. Feels so much better than, it's not a big deal. It's just a toy car. We can one. We have to validate what they're feeling. We have to empathize with them, not dismiss what they're feeling. Think about what would happen if we would never validate feelings with young children. How would that look with an adolescent? Let's say that we just dismissed all feelings with young children. Do you think that you would ever have a chance of an adolescent coming to share any important feelings with you if all you have done has pushed young children's feelings to the wayside? I think you probably already know the answer to that. And the answer is going to be no. So there lies another question. If they're not coming to you with feelings and emotions, where are they going? I bet I can take a guess. I bet they're going to go to their friends. And if they're going to their friends, who, by the way, don't have fully formed prefrontal lobes, what kind of information or advice do you think they're receiving from them? Do you think it's going to be the most helpful advice? Do you think that they're going to be building skills that are going to be equipped for their backpack to use at a later date and time? My guess is, probably not. They're probably going to give them advice or not help them make very rational decisions within the moment. Because you see, most adolescents, just like most young children, are very egocentric and they live very much in the moment. So they're doing what feels good now, not thinking about how that could negatively impact them later on down the road. So my advice would be to keep the lines of communication open. ask your adolescents, or your teenagers for that matter, are you telling me because you want me to just listen? Or do you want some help with that situation? Because you see, sometimes teenagers, adolescents, they just want to vent. They don't need you to come in and try to solve the problem. They just need somebody to talk to and to tell what's been going on, free from judgment. And I don't know about you, but I think this is the same with adults too. I think that sometimes we as adults assume that it is our job, or it is necessary to come in with a solution to the problem. But you see, sometimes, I don't know about you, but I might just go to my spouse because I need to vent. I know that I can probably problem solve, but right then and there, that's not what I need. I just need to talk this out. I just need to say what's on my mind for that moment. I don't need to try to solve the problem. I can later on down the road do that, but right now, I just need to just get it all out, get all my feelings out, free from judgment. Often, I have to tell you that I have witnessed parents try to, for lack of a better term, happy children up. And when I say happy children up, I mean things like, if I am doing something with a child and a child might say to me, oh, can I take this toy with me? And I say, oh, I know you were hoping to take that toy with you, but remember that toy has to stay here so other friends can play with it. I've heard parents say things like, oh, we'll get another toy just like it. Or, you know what? We're going to go to McDonald's after this. Or, oh, you know what? You could ask for that toy for your birthday. Remember, it is okay for your child to feel a certain amount of discomfort. Just like your child feels happy, excited, and calm, it is okay and necessary for your child to feel sad and disappointed, and you know what? Sometimes even angry. So the important part about those feelings is knowing how do we deal with them and how do we teach children to manage them effectively. What do we do? Well, with young children, there is a step-by-step process that we can follow. Now, I'm going to just preface this by telling you, this is not going to work the first time you try it. This is going to take some practice with you as parents. But I want you to continue to practice this, because the more you put this into practice, the more it will become second nature for you. And then your children are going to see you practicing bringing the calm to a very, very disruptive situation. So first, we as parents need to assure that we are calm before we try to handle any kind of upset. And it is okay for you to tell your child, you know what, I'm feeling angry, or I'm feeling upset right now. I need just a minute, so I am going to go take a few deep breaths. I will be back with you in a moment. As long as your child is safe from harm, not going to harm themselves or someone else, it is great for you to walk away so that your child can witness that even adults feel frustrated or angry. And what do they do in those moments? they take their deep breaths and get their bodies calm before they come back and try to handle that situation. Second, this is so important. You need to make sure that you're looking at your child and thinking of them positively before you're approaching that situation. Think about the positive qualities and approach them with the intent to help them and teach them a new skill and not to punish. So you're looking at this situation as an opportunity to teach. What can I teach them? So next time that we are in this situation, I have equipped them with some tools in their toolbox so that they can utilize them when they're feeling this way again. Third, you need to validate what they're feeling and help them to name their feeling. So you could say something like, "You seem frustrated. You were really hoping to have more time at the park today." That makes sense. Take that deep breath so they can see you doing it. It is time to go. We will have another opportunity to play at the park again another day. And then you know what? You're going to keep your expectation. And I think this is where parents fall into the trap a lot of times, because children are really masterful at trying to get a little bit more, right? "Well, can we just have 5 more minutes? Can we just have 2 more minutes? Can I just have 1 more minute?" And then those 5 more minutes, those 2 more minutes, that 1 more minute turns into 20 more minutes. And then before you know it, you're having to pick up that child and carry them physically out of the park. So keep your expectation. I hear you. It is time to go. It is time to leave the park. Are you going to hold this hand or this hand? Would you like to skip to the car? Would you like to hop to the car? Would you like to hold my hand? Or would you like for me to carry you? You can give them lots of options, but the expectation to leave the park is still the expectation. And last, just remind them that they can handle this. So you'll tell them that after providing those choices. "You can handle this. I know it is hard, but you can handle this." Now, obviously, you're not going to use that same strategy that you would use with a young child with older children, but you're going to do some of the same things. Obviously, it's important for you to breathe. You want to breathe before approaching any situation with a dysregulated child. So you're going to do this with an older child too. So you can take that breath. You can even say to them, "I'm feeling a little frustrated right now. I'm feeling angry and I need just a minute. So I'm going to go to my room for just a minute and you can do whatever you need for just a minute. But I need just a minute to get my body ready," because older children are going to understand this. When you reapproach the situation, you could say something like, "Wow, it seems like something happened." And you know what? At that point, sometimes children, especially older children, might say, "Yeah, something did happen. It really, really was hard today. You know what? This kid at school said this, this, and this, and I was feeling really angry about it. Or, you know what? My friend called me this name, and that was so rude." And they might start talking to you about it. Other kids might not be ready yet. And then you could say something like, "You know what? Is now a good time? Or do you need a little more time?" And they might say, "I need a little more time." And you can tell them, "That makes sense. You know what? Sometimes when I'm really angry, I need more time too. Hey, when you're ready," and you can let them know where you'll be. "I'll be in the kitchen. I'll be over here in the living room. You just let me know and I am happy to listen." And then you're going to do the same thing, but you're going to say to them, you know, let me know how I can be helpful, right? And those choices in problem solving might look a little bit different. So you could say something to them like, you know, that makes sense. I would be frustrated too if my friend called me a name. So let's problem solve this together. Let's think about if this situation happened again, what can we do next time? How could you handle this next time? And you could talk through with them. What are some suggestions? What are some ideas? What are some things we could do next time so that you don't leave feeling as frustrated as you are right now? And you know what? Instead of telling them you can handle this, you might need to change it up for an older child, and you might need to say something like, you know what? You've got this. And I'm here. I'm here if you need me. They might need that validation again. So again, like I said, is this going to work the first time? No, probably not. It's going to take you some practice. But practice is helpful to getting to an end result where we can create emotionally intelligent children. And can you imagine what would happen if we can create emotionally intelligent children that turn into emotionally intelligent adolescents, that turn into emotionally intelligent adults? Wow, what a difference this would make in our world. It would just be absolutely incredible. Thank you so much for listening, and I am wishing you all well.